Hey everyone, and welcome back to a very special episode of Nintendo Fanboys. And that's what we're doing. It's a Nintendo Fanboys. And Tim will probably kill Steven for this because he's been up my butt trying to get a podcast done. And the truth is, we actually had one all planned and good to go. But then a pandemic hit the Montreal area. And let's just say the fit hit the shan. And it's been pretty crazy, man. It's been pretty crazy. So I think the first thing we should talk about is that. How are you doing now that the apocalypse has begun?
Well, so far, nothing has changed here. There's still actually zero case in this area where I am. I'm in a very small town. So there are a few people in isolation because they've been somewhere where the virus was there. So they're carriers, I guess.
Yeah, carriers, yeah.
And so they're in isolation or in self-containment, whatever you want to call it. But there's no official case here. The closest case, I believe, is either in Thunder Bay or Sudbury. And both towns are basically 6 hours away driving. So there's a chance that eventually there'll be a case here. But the thing is, with the odds of this affecting this town as much as it will big towns like Montreal and Toronto are small because we're a small population, so spreading it will be harder.
Yeah,
it's the same reason why I don't think Canada will ever get as bad as Italy, because Italy is basically what, the size of Quebec, maybe a bit bigger, and it's 60 million. Well, the whole Canada only has like 30 million people, so it's a lot easier to spread this stuff in places like Toronto, Montreal, of course. But so far so good for me. I'm just hoping that it doesn't go far and it's gone right now. I know that Doc Ford announced that declared state of emergency today in Ontario. I think this was done in Quebec yesterday or the day before. So basically all bars, all restaurants are closed except for takeout. You can still go to Tim Hortons and get the drive-through, for example. But besides that, this grocery stores will remain open. The pharmacies will remain open. And other stores like that don't have mass gatherings will remain open. It's funny because the grocery store, I've been there a few times, and even for this town, it does get, especially last weekend, it was basically Christmas numbers, the amount of stock that they sold. So it does get pretty packed, but you still are not there as long as, say, you would be for a restaurant or a concert with like a few hundred people to hand you. So hopefully this all works out. It's probably going to get a bit worse before it gets better, but I'm hoping that nothing too serious comes out of this as far as my family is concerned. But you never know, but so far so good.
No, I think you'll be fine. What people need to realize when they listen to this is Steven's been practicing social distancing since he was in elementary school. So you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, we actually played hockey, our men's hockey league, on Sunday nights. We played, 2 days ago, we're Tuesday right now. And then the next day, the arena was closed. So now everything public, like the swimming pool, the arena for playing hockey, and everything else that's public related is now closed here. So at least they're taking the necessary precautions.
Of course. Yeah,
so
yeah, man.
It looks like they're ahead of it, which is better. Even if let's say you want to overreact, you don't want to underreact, you want to overreact. So if in a few months we realize this was an overreaction, that's better than what they did in Italy, which I believe was way too late. That's what I hear, that they basically acted too late, and now it's a lot harder to contain because basically hospitals are overflooded, because this disease is not necessarily fatal for most people, but it can overflow hospitals, and then that creates a problem because people don't get the medical attention that they need, so that it can then become serious for even people that it wouldn't be otherwise. But I'm hoping everything stays the same for here. Like I said, I'm in a part of the world where it's very hard for stuff like that to affect me, But for you, I'm guessing this is a more serious issue and something that you have to be more careful about.
Yeah, man, for sure. So for us, well, first thing I want to say is to everyone, you included, my friend. I think everybody just needs not to downplay this. Don't get yourself sick and, you know, go into a depression or something like that. But I think everybody needs to realize that this is a little more serious than you may think, and you should treat it as such, because one of the biggest problems that we're facing, which is a very similar problem to the United States and a similar problem to Italy, is that you could be shedding the virus and have no symptoms at all. And you could just be going in the metro, you could be going to a restaurant, going to a bar. So I'm very pleased with what the government has done. They've shut down pretty much all public areas, and I think it's smart. I really do. And it's just unfortunate that a lot of people aren't listening to the restrictions. Like, the government has basically said, if you can work from home, work from home. And I think it's smart that everyone actually does that. Like, if you have the option of working from home, even if you feel fine, work from home, because you could be a carrier, just like Stephen said, and not even realize it. And you could be responsible for the deaths of people, you know, like your grandparents or that newborn baby or whatever. So just take it serious. I've been telling all my colleagues and all my employees, just take it serious, you know, like, number one, your health is the most important thing, but just don't fool around with this, because it's as simple as the symptoms can be as simple as nothing, right? Like, you could get infected and not even get a fever, get nothing, and it's as severe as death. So, I mean, it's one of these things where just, if you try to do every little bit helps, right? Like, yesterday in Quebec, we had 50 cases, and today at 1 o'clock when they updated, we're at 74. So we're still growing at an alarming rate. And when I say that, even though it's only like 20 cases, you may be like, what? That's no big deal. It's an exponential curve. So in another 3 days, we could be at like 250. And then 3 days after that, we could be at like 700 and something. And so this is the whole thing. Like, you have to really take this serious. Stay inside if you can. And listen, it's like, you don't have to stay inside for 7 months or anything. It's just for a few weeks. If we do that, if everybody plays their part and everybody self-quarantines as much as possible, you're going to help, right? Like, you're going to help the situation. And in my case right now, what's very interesting is, so I'm working from home right now as much as I can. School, my MBA, there's only 5 weeks left, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to transition to digital platform. To a digital platform, but it's so weird, because the only thing that we have left to do really are group presentations. So I'm not even sure how that's going to really work, because how do you do a group presentation when you're not together? Like, it's going to be weird. It's as if, like, Stephen and I are going to be at our homes and we're going to be doing like part of the presentation like this. It's just weird. It's going to be really, really weird. But anyways, all this to say that Animal Crossing comes out in a few days, and I think it's going to be the highest selling Animal Crossing in history, because people have nothing to do. Like, if you looked at Steam, it was pretty wild, man. On Saturday or Sunday, something, there was 20 million concurrent players, which shattered the record. That's insane. That's nuts. 20 million people playing at the exact same time. And it just goes to show that, like, all over the world, people are listening and self-quarantining. Well, yeah, there's,
like, nothing. Like, basically, all movie theaters are closed. There's no sports. There's nothing to do. There's zero live sports right now going on in the world. Even me, as a fan of wrestling, what they're doing right now is there's only two companies left that can afford to still put on shows. And what they do, they do shows in empty arenas. And it's really, really sad right now, because wrestling is one of those sports that needs a live audience, because without that, it's not as entertaining. And everything else, hockey, basketball, football, soccer.
Oh, it's all gone.
It's all gone. So I wonder, I haven't turned on my satellite and checked the sports channel. I wonder what they must be struggling And that will be a huge financial burden on many, many companies. But I imagine, like Sports Channel, what they're gonna do now? Let's say nothing picks up until July, like they're gonna lose sponsors. But because what commercials will want to run? Nobody will watch Sports Channel for now until whenever this comes back and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, man.
So it's funny. I imagine that video games, I imagine that streaming services like Netflix, Disney Plus will get a lot more new subscribers.
Yep.
And yeah, there's
we're gonna have a surge in population as well.
Yeah, in 9 months. Yeah, I can see that happening. It's just this is unprecedented. I've never seen something like this in my life. You either. I don't know what happened during the First and the Second World Wars, but I imagine it was, not saying that this is as worse as that, but like this is basically like life has almost stopped for most people who are living at home, hoping to get by and just, like, it's funny. Yeah, is there a toilet paper shortage in Montreal too? Like, there's that even here.
No, so basically, yes and no. So we're very lucky because Cascade is a Quebec company. They make toilet paper. So... right away at Costco and all these places, man, it was crazy, dude. We had 6 hour lineups of, it's hilarious, right? They tell you social distancing, right? Yeah. And yet at all of these like department stores, it was full. So what I did, because I'm classic Jared, I didn't do jack. Okay. I didn't do anything. I simply waited, let all the nutcases do their thing. And then I let people restock the shelves, and then I just walked in and picked up my toilet paper.
But what's can you explain to me what's the reason why people are jumping over toilet paper?
I can. Stupidity.
No, but seriously, because what's the fear here? Like,
no, usually it's toilet paper
lasts for a month, maybe a few weeks, depending on the size and whatever, but it's like, that's not what I would be worrying of running out of.
Dude, if you go to Costco, all the fresh food and all the toilet paper is gone. Let me repeat that. All the fresh food, the stuff that does not keep, is gone, and all the toilet paper is gone. And I'm like, are you people idiots? Like, you should be buying canned goods, pasta, stuff like that, that can last so that, you know, you could, you know, use it. And here they are, they're buying like all the salads, all the fruit, all the, I'm like, you people are morons, man. But no, seriously, it's fear. Fear makes people do really stupid things. And like toilet paper, it's like, guys, wiping your butt is like the least of your concerns. And especially if you do get the virus, it doesn't even cause diarrhea. So like relax. You're going to be okay, kid. Like, anyway, whatever. But yeah, I went yesterday to the Pharmaprix because I actually needed toilet paper. Like, I had 2 rolls left. I was like, oh, okay, I'll go pick some up. And it was all empty, like everywhere, man. And I'm like, it reminds me of The Last of Us. That's what it reminds me. People just going totally crazy and like the zombie apocalypse is here.
So if something, not that this isn't serious, but if something actually more serious happens, like a super volcano or something that can actually threaten the entire world,
we're all dead.
We're going to fight over toilet paper and salad.
Yeah. Yeah. In the States, 3 people have been killed due to toilet paper. Like, think about that. 3 people were shot over toilet paper.
Of course.
I just, that's amazing, man. So how did your father die? Man, he put up the good fight, man. You know? It's like, wow, that's all I got. Anyways, whatever. All I'm saying is I think Animal Crossing is going to sell a bajillion copies. Because it's the perfect type of game for you to play every single day consecutively, and so
I know Nintendo has had a lot of problem with the Switch shortages lately. Like, sales have dropped a lot in Japan because they haven't been able to make more because of the.
Oh, that's yeah. You're right. Actually, so yeah.
I imagine that people who are buying physical copies, I imagine that some stores might not get their shipment. Maybe we'll see.
Well, me, I'm downloading. I'm going to download it like we were talking about this morning. I'll download it either from the Australian store or I'll just wait for the official North American release. It really depends on how much work I have that day.
Yeah, me, I won't be able to play it until Friday when my kids go to bed, so around 7. So I'll have to wait like a good boy.
No, well, why though? Didn't you say that it comes out at lunchtime on
Thursday?
Yeah,
but I'm working. I'm not like you. I'm not my job.
No, man. What about that night?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna wait till Friday. If the reason I did that with Pokemon was because I was able to finish really early, be home at 11 and start right at 12, and then play. But with Animal Crossing, I won't do that just for a few hours Thursday night. Because I don't want to get digital version with that game. Because if I get a digital version with that game, that means Elliot can play it at any time. And he will. So I want to get the physical
version. I don't think there's any option. Like right now, I don't think there's any option. Like you have to get it digital.
Well, Friday, my store's supposed to get it. So if they get it, I'll be fine.
Okay.
If not, I'll download it. But if I download it, I know Elliot will play it.
So what have you been up to, man? Other than trying to survive the apocalypse?
I've been playing Pokemon, man. That's pretty much all I've been doing.
I know. What a loser.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm like at 320 hours into that game now.
Oh my God, man! Yeah. And you know what's crazy, people? Is he's doing the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Well,
he's nuts.
Yeah, right now I'm trying to get the shiny Grookey. I'm probably at 1,000 eggs, but it won't pop. And so that's it. I'm just doing that, doing raids. I was going to try to bug you tonight to play. I want to try that multi-battle thing that Cranberry does. I've never tried it. And
I have no idea what the hell you're even talking
about.
Yeah,
it's co-op competitive. So it would be me and you against the world. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that could be fun. I wanted to bug you and try it.
But you need to tell me where I can get some information on competitive pokes for like items and stuff, because I don't know anything about items.
Yeah, well,
like
I would,
nothing.
I would tell you what to bring, obviously.
Oh, okay. So well, then that makes it even easier.
It would be fun. I think it's I don't know how it works, so that's why I want to try that with you. And it seems pretty fun because it's co-op competitive, which would work for you. And we would play.
Yes, that works.
We're playing a double, so me and you versus two other folks would probably win every fight, of course, because we're so good.
Oh yes,
and
yes.
That's just what
I'll make sure I bring my Magikarp.
I want to try that. So I'm gonna bug you tonight. And
that's fine.
It's obvious
you'll
probably ignore me, but we'll see. So yeah, I've been.
I don't usually ignore you at night.
I played through Mystery Dungeon, which came out.
Oh yes.
Last Friday? No, the Friday before that. Yeah. So Mystery Dungeon DX for the Switch, and I had a blast with that. I really love those little Mystery Dungeon games. Although I will admit they're an acquired taste because they can be very repetitive, and if it's one of those games that you need to get decent or good at to enjoy, because if you don't try to learn the game, it's very, very boring because you're basically advancing in a dungeon, and while Pokemon auto attack and stuff happens, and if you don't take an interest and if you don't try to get strategies and try to get good at the game, get new abilities, you're just gonna quickly tire out because it gets the difficulty spikes pretty fast, and even I almost gave up because I was at a point where it seemed like an insurmountable obstacle in front of me where I was dying and not even coming close to beating the boss. And then I posted a post on GameFAQs boards and people helped me and gave me tips and I was able to get through it. But this will happen with a casual gamer. He will probably just turn off the game and never come back because I played Super Mystery Dungeon on the 2DS, which was the last Mystery Dungeon game that came out in 2015, and that one was fantastic. I thought this one wasn't as good, but that one was fantastic, and there was no difficulty spikes until like the 20th hour or something. That's what was very more easy, like more, I don't know, welcoming for newcomers than this one. And this one, I don't know if it's just me, but I was only 6 hours into the game, and I got against Moltres, which is the second boss, and I could not do anything to him. So it's definitely something to keep in mind. The story is okay. The problem is this is the first game. It's a remake of the first game, and that's the strength of the series, is that the story are fantastic in Mystery Dungeon. They're actually great Pokemon stories, and which is uncommon. But this one is more very simple and didn't really do anything for me. But I don't know. It's me. It's Pokemon. So, of course, I'm going to love it. And I played it for, I think it took me 15 or 16 hours to beat. And it's not very long compared to Super Mystery Dungeon. But the thing is, there's still like 100 hours of gameplay after that. It's like one-fifth of the full game is the game. Then there's four other post-game parts. And if you want to do all that, it's extremely difficult. So, there are... I think it's very well worth your $60 or $80, whatever it does cost in actual money, depending on your country. But it's a very solid game. It's just not for everyone.
That was beautiful.
It was.
Well, what have I been doing? I haven't been playing too much. I mean, I was playing Pokemon, and I actually was in the mood to play... I don't know if I mentioned this on the air with my air quotations, but I picked up Last Window a while ago, which is the sequel to Hotel Dusk Room 215. And I don't know. I asked you, I was like, have you ever played that? And you were just like, oh, it's not really my thing there. Like the graphic novel type of... sort of whatever games, yeah. If you will.
Yeah, I know that my girlfriend at the time when that game came out, like I had bought the game and I was working night shift back then, and when I came back home she was still playing it, so she beat the game. But I'm not a big fan of those adventure puzzle games. I don't know why. I've tried a few. It's just I get discouraged, and I want to move the story forward, but I don't want to do the puzzles.
Well, it wasn't bad, man. Like, so anyways, I picked it up, and I actually went through the first game, so Hotel Dusk, and it's kind of funny because it's got a really, really good story. It's just that I find it's a little too basic in the sense, not the puzzles or anything like that. Sometimes those are awful. Like, trying to find out, like, what to do, you're like, okay, and now what? Like, where do I go? What do I do? But more just the story itself, sometimes you're like, it's so blatantly obvious at times, like who the quote-unquote bad guy is or how things link together. You're like, okay, like, dumbass, you should be able to figure this out. But overall, it's a really good game. That's a really, really good game. So I just was playing that intermediately, like, throughout, you know, like, whenever I had time, I would check it out. Just play for like half an hour or something like that, not even, because my time's been like crazy. So then I finished that one off and I put in Last Window, and it was like, it's a special game, that one, because it was the last game that, I think it's called Sing was the developer. I apologize if I get that wrong, but I think so. And it's a very rare game in the sense that it was released in Europe and then they went bankrupt. And so it would never got a chance to get released in North America. And those situations are rare when that occurs. So if you want to, like, play the game, it's region free. You can, because the DS was region free. So you can go ahead and pick it up. And I was looking online, and anyways, I found a really good deal on it. So I picked it up from eBay, and away we go. And the funniest thing is, though, then the pandemic like situation sort of hit, and I haven't had any time to play it at all. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Animal Crossing comes out in just a few days, and that's going to be a blast. And what I love about Animal Crossing is it's like, it's the perfect game to play as an adult. And I know that might sound like, huh, what? Because you can literally play it for 15 minutes and get all kinds of joy out of it. Or you can play it for 750 hours like Steven and still get a ton of joy from it. So I think it's like the perfect game, and I just didn't want to take the chance that I would be like knee deep in Last Window, I think is what it's called, the sequel to Hotel Dusk. So I said, no, I'm going to push that off, and I'm just going to wait for Animal Crossing. And I'll be honest, I can't wait. It's going to be hysterical. It's going to be absolutely hysterical. Steven and I have many good memories of playing New Leaf. Many good memories.
more than we should.
Yes, as grown men, that's highly debatable. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be utterly ridiculous, and I can't wait. I just hope it's good, because like you never know with these things. New Leaf was really special. Like, it really was. New Leaf was a really, really special game, and I'm hoping that this one is similar. Now, you read some reviews, so what are the people saying, man?
Well, basically, your worries are unfounded. It seems to be good, at least good. The one review I read gave it a perfect 10. The thing they said that it was a bit more slow paced than the other ones, which is weird because Animal Crossing is really slow paced. But what they said basically, New Leaf. One of the reasons I love New Leaf so much, because basically I played every Animal Crossing except for the Wii one, and New Leaf made you a mayor. So there was a lot more options because now you could actually control the town and add stuff to the town that. You really, before, you could only control your house, make payments to your house, and that was about it. It was still fun, but that changed the game for me and it made it so much more fun. And in this one, you still get to do that, but you have to wait about a week or so to start, and that's a real time. So you have to start. You'll be able to do those mayor-y things in a week or two, I believe. So, okay. And the game doesn't really tell you, I think, that you'll be able to do that. So maybe some people will play for a few days and become bored and wonder if there's anything else to the game. But I think it comes a bit farther along than in New Leaf. Because usually you need to wait about 24 hours for stores to arrive and stuff like that. So there's a few things like that that I don't mind because I like that aspect of Animal Crossing, that it's a 24/7 game and it's in real time. But maybe some people will be a bit thrown off by that, but we'll see. Besides that, I think this will be a blast. Curious, there seems to be unlimited, basically, material resources with, like, I think trees now, you don't actually cut them off. You can chop at them and get wood from them and they still stay there, which is weird. But we'll see. You can still, of course, remove trees by, like, I think with the shovel or digging a hole or something, which I've never done to your town, of course. But
no, never.
We'll see. Never. We'll see. I can't wait to dig in and see what the new features are, and hopefully it'll hook me in. I don't doubt it, but never know. I'm weird like that sometimes, but seems like a pretty.
Oh, no. If I'm gonna play it there, you're gonna be fine. Like, you'll be fine. I have no doubt. I'm more, I don't want to say concerned, because that's not the case, but IGN's review was interesting. They basically said it takes 15 days before you can really, like, open up everything.
Okay, yeah.
So
this is awesome for me. I like that because I always, it's one of the reasons I stopped playing New Leaf was because you stopped playing, kind of, and I didn't really have any more goals to achieve. I had the full stores, I had the museum. Of course, I didn't have the full bug and fish collection, but that you needed to wait for certain seasons, and I've never been the guy who would advance and change a calendar because I thought it broke the immersion of the game. So I had to wait, and I never really got all the fish and all the bugs, although that could have been obtainable. But I didn't really have any more goals to do. I had everything. My house was full. Every store was full. And I had all the projects that I wanted done, stuff like that. So if it tells me that it'll take around 15 days for the game to open up, I have no problem with that. Like, I'll just be happy collecting bells and going to... What I love is that the islands now, you know, when we went to islands to get, like, fruit and stuff like that, or to go play games, they're now randomly generated, so you never know what you're gonna get, which means that's awesome for me. I'm gonna go on so many island tours, just not the actual island, but the when you go on the boat with Captain. I don't know if it's still with Captain in this one, or Cap'n, But those islands are...
Isn't it Capi?
Capi. I think it's Cap'n, but no? Maybe. Maybe it's Capi.
Oh, no, no. Maybe, maybe, man.
Anyway, those... Yeah, the islands, I really like the fact that they're now randomly generated, which, like, you never know what you're going to... what fruit you're going to get and what resources you're going to get. So I imagine I'm going to go. I remember when we were playing New Leaf, I would play in my old house in the bed there with Liz besides me. And around 11, I would always see you going to those islands to get as much bugs as possible before the store closes at 11 so you could sell back. And it was every night you would go there. It was without miss, I would see you log on and go to those islands and get those bugs. So... can't wait to do that, do those things.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait for us to go clubbing.
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe there won't be any clubs on the island.
No, no, that's impossible. There has to but be clubs,
we,
damn
we
it.
We can go scuba.
Scuba diving, scuba diving. Perfect. We no matter what we do, this is going to be damn well hilarious because you have two grown men, again, that's arguable or debatable, that are going to be all over this. It's going to be totally ridiculous. And that's the fun part. The only thing that kind of sucks is I was hoping I'd have the Animal Crossing Switch, but I think that's only going to come in like $21.75. So, oh well. I will use my Dragon Quest one and just keep it on that and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, yeah. Poor you. You won't have your fifth Switch on hand, won't it?
I know. I know. It's a hard knock life, yeah, for me.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm trying to think of what else has been going on in the world. We talked about the virus. We talked about your Pokemon. And we talked about Animal Crossing. Is there really anything else in this like year that you're looking forward to? I know this is a Nintendo fanboys. And wasn't there supposed to be a Nindies?
Yeah, there's supposed to be one today. It might have happened today, actually.
Oh, well, fantastic. Today, we're doing a really good
tomorrow.
Job.
Yeah. Well, I was working all day while you were pretending to work.
So was
from
I.
Home. Yeah, yeah. Working okay. From home. Yeah, I'm sure you were predictable. Predictable.
Predictable. I'm very predictable.
But yeah, there was supposed to be one. So, and people are saying there's going to be.
Okay, so I got some news. The Nintendo Network Services and eShop are completely down. Awesome.
They are right now.
Apparently, they got hacked or something like
that.
They did. Nice.
Wow. That's never happened before for Nintendo.
Well, there you go. So there goes your credit card number.
Let me check. Fuck. I hope you're wrong on that. See, cuz
it's
not on Nintendo Life. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm
and
reading it
back.
On Nintendo
okay,
Life.
It's back now.
Yeah, it's back. Okay, interesting. It doesn't say that anything was stolen or something. It just, I don't know. It's weird. I'm trying to see if there was any news. When was their thing? I'm not seeing it on Nintendo Life. Any?
Okay, it doesn't seem to be a hack situation, though. No, you're right. I don't. Yeah, there's tons of news. So they had to be an indies. Yeah, there's tons of.
Yeah, there was. There was a 1 p.m. today. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what is the news? Let's see. What do we got here? Anything that we want to talk about? Any big news, like a new Zelda coming out or something?
In Nindies. Yeah. Yeah. I just.
Well, no, but like, remember.
Yeah.
The,
yeah. You're right.
I forget what the hell it's called. That weird game. Switch Time exclusive Baldo is giving us serious Studio Ghibli feels, or Ghibli feels, however it's pronounced. Okay.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, but as far as your question was, basically what I'm most looking forward after Animal Crossing is the Pokemon DLC. That's going to be awesome. That's all I've been doing basically since November is playing that game, that Pokemon game. I played a bit of The Witcher and what's the other game you bought me? I don't remember. And I also played CTR. My girlfriend bought me CTR for Christmas, but I played those for a little bit. And then I went back to Pokemon. I've been playing Pokemon. And that's what happens with Pokemon. It's really good financially for me because I haven't bought a single video game since Pokemon, except for Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. See a team here. So Animal Crossing would be fine. I've already bought the expansion pack for both games in Sword and Shield. So once those hit in June, and then I believe the next one is in November, that will be awesome. I, of course, plan on playing Last of Us 2. I believe it's May 19th, but not sure. That will be fun, but it will be a very slow year for me. And by slow, I mean in terms of the number of games played, but the gameplay, like, I've played over 300 hours of Pokemon, so I'm still going to be playing a lot of Switch, but it's probably going to be Pokemon and Animal Crossing, and that's about it for this year. So when we do our end of the year Game of the Year Awards,
I can't
wait. It will be funny, because usually you're the one who has to invent stuff, but this year I'll be the one who won't have played anything, but c'est la vie, that's what I want to do. It's what I'm passionate about, really having fun with Pokemon. So it's fun because the raids are so much fun. It's the first time where I actually use a whole amount of diverse Pokemon. Because there's a lot of Pokemon that suck at competitive. Like, you have to try and make them work. Like when I brought my Magikarp to our battle, only battle we ever had, mm-hmm. like I had to make, the only way I could make that Magikarp work was by setting up the rain, because it has the ability Swift Swim, which makes its speed double, so it basically outspeeds everything, and it only has access to tackle, so I had to kill one of your Pokemon that had not much health left, and I had a choice bandit on it, so I could only use tackle, which is fine, but it boosted my attack by 1.5. But there's a lot of Pokemon that are worthless like that, that there's not really any use for them. And plus the legendaries. I've never brought legendaries in competitive play because it's not fun. It's basically not fair. And now you can bring them in max raid battles. And when they did the Mewtwo raids, which we haven't talked about, that was just fantastic. But because that was probably
We should talk about that, the man. Most that was cool.
Challenging Pokemon thing I've ever done. Those raids were so much harder than anything previously done in Pokemon, especially without communication. We did a few, you and I, we were on Skype, and every time we did that, we didn't fail once, I believe, but we also had to rely on two other random peoples to know what they were doing, because and that's the funny thing, because when I started those Mewtwo raids, I was one of those people that didn't know what they were doing, because I thought all the raids so far, basically the 5-star raids, if you're with 4 other people, you can't fail them with 4 other people. It's impossible unless you try to fail them. And with this Mewtwo raid, if you're 3 people, you have no chance. If you're 2 people, you have no chance. You need to be 4, and you need to have at least 2 who know what they're doing and be a bit lucky when that's not the case. But if 4 people all know what they're doing, you all need to do a specific part. You can't all attack Mewtwo. Some need to prevent him from attacking. Some need to prevent him from boosting his stats. It's really, really, there was a clear strategy to it. And even on the 4th day of the raids, some people still didn't know what they were doing, or it was perhaps their first day of doing this. And it was very, very frustrating because there were some very clearly winnable raids that were not won because someone, instead of using a damn potion, which was really crucial in these raids, you had to heal yourself because dying is not worth it, because you had only 4 lives. And there was a lot of people who still use the old raids mentality of attack at all costs, and it was failing because sometimes it was so simple, you only had to do one thing and you were guaranteed the victory, and the guy would attack and die. And it was so frustrating but so much fun at the same time.
Yeah, I don't have, I don't have your 85 years of experience with Pokemon, but I will say that of, everything that I've played anyway, this was the coolest thing I've ever partaken in Pokemon as a non, competitive sort of thing. This was unbelievably hard. I'll never forget the first time I entered one of those raids with Mewtwo, and because just like anyone else, right? And you must have been the same thing. Like the very first time you go in there, you're just sort of like, okay, well, it's just a regular raid. I'll take something that he's weak to. And there we go, right? Like, we got this, no problem. My face when he attacked once was hysterical. Like, just hysterical. Because I don't remember exactly what he did, but he basically, like, one-shotted three people immediately. And I was just like, what the hell is this? And needless to say, like, I don't even think, like, really? I don't even think we even hurt him. Because if I remember right, the very first one I had was the one where the shield popped right away. And we basically got like three or four moves off, and we just took like three or four of his shields down, and that's it. Yeah. Like, we didn't even take like one HP off the guy practically. And I was like, now this is awesome. But like you said, the only thing is, it does show the weakness of the lack of communication, because I would love for them to introduce, like, maybe in the expansions or whatever, but like ultra raids or something like that, where you're up against level 100 pokes that have like good move sets and stuff like that, like make it brutally, brutally hard. But in order to do that, truly, you're going to need like, well, you're going to need to be able to speak, because without being able to speak, it's so freaking hard to do. Like what Steven just said there, like, we got crazy lucky in some of these, in some of these situations. But that was awesome. Like, that was really awesome. And even, like, for me, the other thing that they did, this was for Pokemon Day, for, like, the celebration, they released, like, the Kanto starters, and it was super cool. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, this is a great opportunity for me to go with a luxury ball and get some of these, because they have really good stats, typically, in the raids. They probably have something like three or four values that are like perfect. So it's good, right? Like it's pretty badass. And anyways, all the way up until like the last 40 minutes of the event, or whatever you want to call it, I was missing, who was it? Who was I missing? It wasn't, what the hell is the grass starter?
Bulbasaur.
No, it was Bulbasaur. Okay, I was just saying it was Squirtle was the one I had in my head. And anyway, so Bulbasaur finally, like, he drops. And he's one of the ones I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's taken forever for me to get this guy. And that's not, like, I had, I think, maybe two or three opportunities to get him before, and both times, like, he jumped out of the ball, and well, that was that. But right, like, seriously, like, maybe 15-20 minutes before the raid, like, the event ends, he drops, I shoot my luxury ball, boom, catch him, and I'm like, nice, awesome. And it was just a great event. I had a blast with that, and I'm hoping that we see a lot more of that.
Yeah, because those starters, they're only available in Pokeballs, basically, because you only get them from the get-go. So that's what's awesome about this, is that you're...
Were they never released in the wild, though? In any of the Pokemon?
Yeah, in Let's Go. Yeah, in Let's Go. But in Let's Go, you're limited to Pokeball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball, Master Ball, and Premier Ball. That's it. So I had a shiny Venusaur from Let's Go caught in a Premier Ball, which I brought in, which was very cool. But the problem is they don't get their hidden abilities, which I was greatly disappointed by, because when they brought the Kanto games to the 3DS Virtual Console, one of the cool things about those Pokemon was when you brought them to Bank to the new games, they would automatically get their hidden abilities. And their starters, like Venusaur has, and Bulbasaur, the Bulbasaur line has the Chlorophyll hidden ability, which basically, what it does is it's like Swift Swim. It doubles their speed in the sunshine, which is okay. Extremely useful compared to the basic ability that all starters get, which is either Torrent, Blaze, or what's the grass type? Basically, it hires their, when their HP is low, their fire moves are more... They do a bit more damage, but that's not very that useful, because usually you don't get the chance to attack when your HP is low as often. So that's a problem. I also had the shiny Ninetales from Let's Go, and the Ninetales, its hidden ability is Draught, which automatically brings the sun when you bring it in, which is super useful, especially in VGC. And I was so disappointed when I got my shiny Ninetales in home that it got the flash fire ability, stuff like that. I really hope they would have done that, which have been a great incentive to transfer more Pokemon from Let's Go in home, but whatever the case may be, that's life. I also think that in some, I know that some of the stars, I don't know if there was a Kanto star, it was were available in Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Moon when you use this Can Island ability.
You wouldn't
always get what you wanted, but you could get them in a different ball. And I believe in the Friend Safari in X and Y 2, you could get some of the starters there. But yeah, I believe that's it. That's the only way you can get those starters in different balls than the regular Pokeball, which is a great incentive to play those raids.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it was a blast.
If you breed them, they'll keep that same ball, which is awesome.
I know. Yeah, exactly. That's why I wanted it, right? Like, that was the whole thing. I got a lot of...
And the Charmander line was already available in Sword and Shield because Gigantamax Charizard is a thing, and you can also find him.
Yeah.
But you can also find Charmander and Charmeleon in raids. You can still find them, actually, but they're rare, very rare. So, but in this case, they were like, what, 10% chance? So they were pretty common.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I caught like two or three of them during that event. The only one that was really giving me any difficulty was the Bulbasaur line. Like, that was giving me that was being a pain in the rear end. That was not easy, but whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'm just looking at the time. I think I'm gonna stop working, and I will get on our little game.
So. I think it's almost 5 here. I need to go soon. So I think we're pretty good.
Yeah,
that our blast from the past was Hotel Dusk, whatever the name is, 5:15.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we can
do that. Yeah, that was a blast from the past because you talked about it earlier. So that's fine. But so I guess we'll end this, and I guess we'll do another podcast in 6 months, I guess, something like that, if our regular schedule
keeps probably
up.
Like that. No. Look, the truth is now, like as I'm working from home, are you kidding me? Like, it's pretty much on you. We could do this every Wednesday. Like, you're home, I'm home. Who cares?
Yeah, but the kids are home. Kids are home. There's no school.
Let them join.
There's no school for 3 weeks now. There'll probably be more than that, I imagine.
Oh, it's gonna be way longer than that.
And also on a sadder note.
Oh no!
Do you know that this is the first podcast I've ever done without Moose?
I do know that, and because why he's are you always, mentioning this? You're gonna make me cry.
He's always, if you listen to our previous podcast, odds are you're gonna hear him at some point bark or run around or do some kind of noise. And unfortunately, Moose is no longer with us, which is very sad. You're right, that I should not, but I just thought of this right now. It's their first podcast where he won't make an appearance, sadly, but I had a shiny Arcanine in my game, which was not which I nicknamed him Nefkara, which it's something with, because he's golden and Arcanine obviously has the word nine in it, but now I've changed it to Moose, and I guess it's gonna be his, you gave me Moose. I did, but at that time he was still alive, but yeah.
So now that's my little tribute to Moose. <Yeah. laughs> Okay, well, thanks for making this super depressing now. That's great. And, it's actually perfect timing. Okay, so now we need some sort of gameplay. I'm wondering if I should wait for Animal Crossing.
So you want me to pause this? Stop this? Or is still part of the podcast?
Yeah, it's still part of the podcast.
Yeah, wait for Animal Crossing because you're going to put this up on Sunday. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait for,
so that's
max
what I'll do.
Time
all
right. to show up.
I will. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everything in between, thanks for joining us, and like Steven said, we'll be back before you know it. Take care, everybody.